Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Junk Baller Podcast. My name is Michael Greenwood, and I'm here with my good friend, great friend, as always, Kevin Otterbein. Kevin, how you doing?
Now, I do have to ask you, though, do you like me or like me like me?
Well, should we have some backstory to that? Because I don't know if I like you, but I don't know. You get on my nerves sometimes.
Yeah. You get on my nerves all the time.
Yeah, it's fair. I'm pretty, I feel like that's a lot of people.
I'm good.
You're good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what else is good? We have another guest on our podcast.
Ketchup on hot dogs?
No. Not with the hot take. Anyway, can I introduce our guest, please?
Go ahead.
We have a special guest. Our good friend Howie is here. Howie, say hello.
Ketchup actually goes on hot dogs. It's kielbasa that you have to put mustard on. And hello, everyone.
On ketchup on kielbasa?
No, ketchup on kielbasa is the mortal sin, not hot dog.
Yeah, no.
People overreact about, oh, the hot dog sacred. No, it's not. It's just like whatever pig material you want to throw in there.
Yeah, I don't think that it's sacred. I don't think that was our argument for our hot take last time, for Kev's hot take. It was ketchup belongs on hot dogs.
Yeah, it does.
No. As a sole condiment? No. I think that hot dogs require mustard. Mustard is the sole condiment. If ketchup and mustard are together, that's completely fine. They have a good mix, you know, good matrimony, you know, good marriage. Mm-hmm. But ketchup on hot dog, just ketchup, feels like I'm eating candy.
It feels like you're eating candy?
It's super sweet. I used to love ketchup.
So question for you. Is drinking milk like super sweet for you too? Is that a dessert for you?
Because
that's also high in natural sugars.
No, I don't think so. It depends. The chocolate milk from Rutter's that we get.
Oh, obviously.
That's a dessert. Yeah,
Rutter's
chocolate milk is a
delicacy.
But okay? I really don't drink milk like at all that much. Mm-hmm. I think I'm a little bit like, I think I have a little bit of a milk allergy because if I have too much, like I get a little congested.
Okay.
But yeah, that's my thought process on that. Anyway,
no worries.
Welcome to, starting off on talking about our last hot take. So if that conversation doesn't make sense to you, that was the end of our last episode. So go ahead and listen to it. But we are glad you're here, Howie. And we're going to get right into the introduction of what is going on with the White Sox and chasing infamy, as we have officially titled it. What is the update, Kev?
Frankly, I don't think this team needs an introduction. They're not deserving of an introduction.
No, but for the podcast, for people.
Yes.
This is like the most exciting thing happening in baseball right now.
It is. It really is. Because the MVP rate, a lot of the other stuff, like, isn't as exciting as this. Because this is a record that is sadly going to be broken.
Hold up. The Sales, Wheeler, Skeens race right now is pretty enticing.
I have not.
For Cy Young?
I have not been paying attention to the... Not that. I have been paying attention. I have not felt the adrenaline of like, ooh, this could be a good one. This could be a good one. I haven't felt that this year with any race. And Judge is hitting... How many home runs did he have yet? Do you have 50-something?
51 or 52, but he hasn't hit one in a while.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
darn. If he was still hot and like chasing, you know, 70 home runs, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. Just kind of explain. Anyway,
tell
chasing
us about those
infamy.
White Sox.
Yes, they just got swept by Cleveland, and as of today, of this recording, September the 12th, in the year of our Lord 2024, they are 33-114.
Brutal.
Bringing you to an astounding 224 winning percentage, which, as of this moment, is the lowest in the history of modern baseball.
Yeah. What's the record that they have to go to tie the record?
To tie the record, they have to go 7-8 to tie the 1962 Mets.
So to tie it, to not get this record, the White Sox have to play above 500 baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To not have this at least tied.
Yeah.
That is absurd and pathetic.
And they need to win 6 games just to be 1 game under the record.
If they go 8-7, which is a stretch at this point, let's face it, I have no confidence that they're going to go 8-7 for the rest of the year.
Yeah,
they will have the record.
So I was thinking about this earlier today because I had some thoughts about this team. The current team is a joke. Okay, a couple years ago, when they had Tim Anderson, Eloy Jimenez, Luis Robert, you know, the Yoan Moncada, they still had Sale. You know, the Sale was in the Moncada trade. Just some other prospects were like, oh, they're trying. And then they had the Field of Dreams game with against the Yankees. I was like, this could be fun.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Did they make the playoffs in 2021?
2021. They were mm-hmm. they won 93 games that
so
year.
So it wasn't for lack of trying, okay? But here's the thing. That organization is a joke. The management of that team is an absolute joke. And I've read some tweets from fans, and it's just an absolute monstrosity. No,
so
abomination.
Yeah. That's the word. That's a great word. Abomination. You got some thoughts, Al?
No, what I was going to say. Who would you rather have as your organization, the White Sox or the Athletics?
Both are
hot garbage,
and incompetent. Because the A's don't try. The White Sox tried and failed the last couple of years. The A's have not tried in, what, 8 years?
Well, they made the playoffs in, what, 2019, I think? 2018,
was
2019?
Was that with Chapman?
That's when they were in the wild card game.
Okay. I'm trying to remember who. Yeah, but that's 5 years of at least of just completely non-being competitive.
Yeah, and I think the thing about the White Sox, too, is that they're staying where they're at.
They're building a new stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where the A's, yeah, I've heard a lot more outcry from fans about the A's than I think the White Sox. I am so blessed to have John Middleton as the owner of the Philadelphia Phillies, or the manager leading, what's it called? Like the leading shareholder. I think he's the leading shareholder. And he's like the president or whatever it is. But he's the owner. Everyone views him as the owner, and he's mm-hmm. willing to spend money, and he wants to win every year. That's something that Philadelphia loves and will back. Mm-hmm. If you try to win, we will support that. So I'm very blessed. Wow, what are your thoughts? Who would you rather have, the A's or the White Sox?
So I would have to say, I would still probably have to say the White Sox.
Yeah.
Because the A's are trying to save money around every corner.
Yeah.
They were literally like holding the city hostage in order to get a stadium built, or they were just going to leave. And they had decided early season, hey, we're just leaving.
Yeah. No, I completely agree.
Yeah.
It's pathetic.
Yeah. They have the money to put up for not only a competitive roster, but also for a stadium.
Yeah.
Like competitive roster like alone is very, very minuscule compared to how much a stadium costs. And they definitely have enough money for both.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree.
You got it?
I will say, to compound the White Sox historic losing, because of how bad they've been this year, they are now below 500 as a team record all time. So they fell below 500 this year. They are now 19 games below 500 all time.
Oh, man. Wow. Yeah.
They have 11 retired numbers. Do you know that? Excluding Jackie Robinson? I had no idea they had that many.
No, you don't really view the White Sox as like historical.
Then again, they have Harold Baines as a retired number.
Well,
so,
the Cubs have been mediocre for over almost 100 years, pretty much. Yeah. But they're the number one team in Chicago.
But they're like the lovable losers. Nobody cares about the White Sox.
I hate the White Sox or the Cubs?
The White Sox.
Nobody cares about the White Sox.
Yeah, nobody cares about the White Sox. Yeah. But I don't care. I hate Cubs fans. Cubs fans are the worst. All right, let's move on. Thank you for the update and info and back and forth with the Chasing Infamy update with the White Sox. Let's get into the Phillies and Yankees update. A little quick update. Phils are hot right now. They're 1-8 of the last 10 and like 13 of the last 17, I believe.
Yeah, they're on a roll.
Yeah. It feels weird because they've been doing it kind of in not weird ways, but they've had Buddy Kennedy and what's the other guy's what's his freaking other name? He's the outfielder. Left-handed
outfielder.
Stevenson, yeah. Yeah, Stevenson. It's just weird seeing these guys play, and we're still winning the games. Harper's banged up. Bohm's mm-hmm. banged up. JT's banged up. Schwarber's now banged up. And
I know. He only hit so many three-run home run games.
Yeah. Like, also, he was player of the week. Yeah, he definitely was deserving of that. Absolutely ridiculous.
He hit 7 home runs in a week.
Yeah, that was that's a lot of fun. He's going to get that extension. I think that was something I mentioned last week, or I was talking with someone, like, oh, we're going to re-sign, you're going to re-sign Schwarber. I'm like, absolutely we are. Like, he's going to be the DH for the next probably 3-4 years, 100%.
Yeah, we can't have Schwarber Fest without a Schwarber.
Yeah, no. He's too much of a leader for that team right now. So what do you, I'm curious what you think are the what the outcome is going to be for the Phils in the regular season and also the postseason. Howie.
So I think the Phils will end up with the 2 seed. I know we're currently ahead of the Dodgers, but we have a very good history of kind of choking needed games at the end of a season in order to secure our spot. We have 6 games against the resurging Mets.
Seven. It's a 4-game series.
There's
next,
a 4-game?
Yeah, it's 4-game away next week.
Whew. 7 games.
Yep.
So we're probably going to win at most 4 games there. And that'll be the one that hurts us probably the most. He'll give us the most losses. And I'm not sure the Dodgers really have a tough opponent besides a 3-game with the Padres.
Yeah. And the Cubs have been hot, too. We have 3 games against the Cubs.
We have 3 games against the Cubs.
Yeah.
And before our last series against the Nats.
Yeah, the only series that we could see us absolutely winning that series is the Nats. But even then, they always play us. And also
the Twins. Like, we also have to play the Twins. No, the Brewers.
The Brewers, yeah.
I mean, the Brewers are really good, too.
Yeah. No, like, that's what I was saying. Like, it's a tough schedule. Yeah. But I think that both... So you think that we're going to come with the 2 seed?
We're going to end up with the 2 seed. Yeah. I don't think there's any other team close to catching up to the Phillies or the Dodgers. So we're just going to be swapping, and make the last week's very stressful for that.
Yeah.
Playoff-wise, if everyone's back healthy, which is always a big if, I would see us at least making the championship series. I don't know if we'll make the World Series. I think we have a really strong 1-2 starting pitching, but our bullpen, while playing better as of late.
Who's the two? Because everyone hates Nola on this pod, on that listens to this podcast.
Oh, it's still Nola.
It should be Nola.
It's still Nola.
Yeah. grinds my gears, as some people would say, that people view Nola as not a good pitcher.
I mean, if he's giving us like a 75% chance of winning, I would still say he's a pretty good pitcher.
Yeah.
And he's definitely a 2-pitcher. His inconsistency can come up at the worst times.
Well, Ranger's been inconsistent since the beginning of the season.
It's been
Sanchez has been fairly consistent, but he's been only been fairly consistent at home.
Home.
His away stuff.
Yeah.
Where Nola, for the stretch of August, was hot.
Yeah.
He was fantastic until the last game. I mean, it's guaranteed that Nola's going to give up a home run. I know that. Like, Wheeler's definitely better than Nola. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. But it's just, it bothers me that some people, that some don't view Nola as a number two.
Yeah, I know.
He's a good pitcher.
He's a good pitcher. He's just not like that Hall of Fame level pitcher that we all thought he was going to be.
All right, so you think they're going to be in the championship, but not go to the World Series. They're going to, same as last year, they're going to lose in the championship series.
Yep.
Who are they losing to?
Well, I want to say the Dodgers, because I really think we are probably the only two teams that can do it. I'm going to say the Brewers, because I want to be spicy.
I would hate if the Brewers got to the World Series.
Yeah.
One reason is because I picked them to be last in their division.
And that would
at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
That was one of my predictions that I remember. I'm like, wow, the Brewers are really doing well. This is not looking good.
Yeah, it's not looking good for you, buddy.
So, all right. Good to know. I'm interested to see how it plays out. But, yeah, Yankees fan Kev over there. Oh, you got an update about the Yankees?
Yeah.
Why do you sound like a 40s, like, baseball?
Oh, we got a baseball here. We got a game here going. We got the Yankees and the Dodgers.
This guy's a real hot dog. Hey, he's in the line, down the Western line. He's a home run. Oh, my God.
Yeah, but we don't put a ketchup on our hot dogs over here. We put
You have to talk a little bit more nasally, boys. You got to talk up here in the top of your head.
Oh, my God. First-time listeners were like, what the heck is going on with these guys?
Tired and hyped up on caffeine.
Let us riff our bits. It's fine. All right.
Yankees update.
Yes. They've been keeping their heads above water. They took 2 out of 3 from Chicago and 2 out of 3 from Kansas City. So those are pretty big wins, I would say. They're about to start a 4-game series against the Red Sox, which is always exciting. I feel like the Red Sox could play spoiler this weekend because they beat Baltimore the last couple days. They are 1.5 games above Baltimore right now. And it's nice to see them bringing up Dominguez and quote-unquote DJ being injured, which he's not injured. Let's be real. He's on there to clear a spot for Dominguez, and they're done with DJ, so they're throwing him on the IL. It's a phantom injury.
I'm glad they did that.
Yeah.
It's I don't care if it's a phantom injury. They need Dominguez up.
Yeah. I was just feeling bad for DJ, too. It was just like, just put this guy out of his misery and let him go.
How many years left of the contract do you have?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But
too many.
Yeah.
I think you have at least 2.
Yeah. In terms of how the rest of the season will go, the Yankees are 1.5 games over Baltimore right now. The Orioles pretty much have the AL Central for the rest of the year to play, like Detroit and the Twins, and they have the Giants as well. The big series is going to be against the Yankees the 24th through the 26th.
Is that the second to last series for them?
Yes, though? It is. The Pirates are the last series for the Yankees for the year.
Are you going to have to fight Skeens? Or?
I don't know.
They haven't probably projected it out that far yet.
Yeah. Well, I would be a little concerned about playing Oakland because they're going to the West Coast next week.
In our last podcast, we were talking about spoilers. I thought Oakland was going to play spoiler.
Yeah.
100%. They've been the second best record in when we... of last podcast, they had the second best record in the American League since... the All-Star break. The A's.
Yeah, I know.
The almost soon to be Sacramento A's.
Yeah.
just because of how the Orioles and Yankees have been trading back and forth at this point, I think it's ultimately going to come down to the 24th through the 26th series. If the Yankees can take that series, I think they can take the division.
Okay.
If not, they probably will have to settle for that first wild card spot. Whoever loses the division is going to get the first wild card spot. I'd rather win the division. And frankly, that one seed, that's going to be tough with Cleveland having the same record as the Yankees right now, too. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a fight with Cleveland for that one spot also.
Thank you, Kev, for that update on the Yankees.
Must be nice to be in a division with the White Sox.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So we have some sad news. James Earl Jones passed away, and he is one of the best voices of all time. You can't beat that voice.
First off, he's the voice of Darth Vader, mm-hmm, which is always absolutely. Everyone's childhood. That is of the '90s, '80s.
Yeah. And the reason why we're bringing him up, James Earl Jones was an influential part in baseball culture with Field of Dreams and The Sandlot. He had a big impact on baseball movies and just how, I just felt like he had a really big impact. And I mean, MLB gave a shout out, when he passed away, basically expressing their condolences. And, when you think of Field of Dreams, you think of Terrence Mann, and just the speeches he was talking with about Ray. And then you think also The Sandlot with him as Mr. Myrtle when he's got the big dog. Does the big dog have a name?
The Beast.
The Beast, that's right. Yeah.
The Beast.
I haven't seen The Sandlot in a long time. It's sad because he hasn't been in a lot of stuff recently. I think he's been retired for a long time. He did voice stuff for The Lion King and Darth Vader recently.
Yeah. His last actual appearance was in the Rebels cartoon.
Okay. Sweet.
Well, it's either that or the first Jedi game that EA put out.
Yeah.
And for the acting nerds out there, he's one of the few guys to win an Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony. Wow. As an actor.
Yeah, you got that EGOT.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
So.
Yeah, I mean, like other big movies. Coming to America as the king.
Oh, yeah.
You don't forget Lion King.
Mm-hmm.
He was also in Conan.
Oh, yeah. I was more just bringing up the fact because he was in influential baseball movies in the culture of baseball. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to, our junk baller, to express our condolences to the family, and also just bring it up to anyone that if they haven't known, go watch Field of Dreams, go watch The Sandlot, fantastic movies. Yeah. I'm actually watching Field of Dreams on Saturday with some friends from church. They are doing a bonfire outside. And watching,
that's fun.
Yeah, and watching it on a projector, so that'll be fun.
And never give up on your dreams either, because as classic as a voice as he was a stutterer growing up.
Yeah.
So
never give up.
Never give up.
Never give up. So rest in peace, James Earl Jones. And so moving on, let's introduce our guest, Howie. Howie, we've known you, let's see, you've known Kev longer, but yeah, not too
by
much.
Two years.
By 2 years. Let me start off by asking you, why do you like baseball, but not like baseball? As we introduced Kev and I in the podcast.
We did a little tease.
Because I was thinking, like, Howie, why do you love baseball? And he was like, well, I don't know if I love baseball. Like. So yeah. Explain.
It's definitely a like-like.
A like-like.
Yeah.
So kind of a teenage romance with baseball.
So, I mean, I'm a big Phillies fan because, again, we're in Philadelphia, greater area. We're in the suburbs, I know. My dad, ginormous baseball fan. That was his sport, period.
Yeah.
It was baseball and then everything else, pretty much, growing up. Until the Eagles made the Super Bowl, and then he's like, okay, I'll follow football a little bit more. And also because my younger brother played football. I never played baseball growing up besides, like, wiffle ball in the backyard. I played soccer for 8 years, eventually going on a travel team. So, I enjoyed and appreciated baseball. I love going to the games and being with my family and watching them hang out with my dad. I also would get the same feelings of just watching golf. Yeah. Or watching football for a while. And then when I got into my teenage years, I really was playing a lot of backyard football. My brother was on the football team, and the Eagles were also very, very good, exceptionally good, making so many NFC Championship games and losing them, and we're losing in the Super Bowl. So it was pretty hard to not give that up. And also fantasy football really drove my love of football, because I just would start studying it and actually looking into other players and following other players' journeys. Mm-hmm. All that stuff. And so while I dabbled in fantasy baseball and I really enjoyed it, it was not like I didn't get the same connections to the players.
Yeah, that's fair. Did you play wiffle ball in my parents' backyard when we did it?
Yeah, I played wiffle ball with you.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, did you remember I slid and you tried to throw it at me?
Oh,
and
my
missed?
Gosh. Yeah, that's right. I do remember that. Yeah. I love wiffle ball. It's so good. Okay. Who's your favorite player growing up?
My favorite player growing up is Ryan Howard, for obvious reasons, because my name is Howard.
Big piece.
I know. Oh, my God. Him smacking all them home runs was so much fun. Like, one of my first tweets, actually, was his injury.
Oh, in 2011?
Yeah. Yeah, I know, right? I was so devastated and distraught, I made a Twitter account and tweeted.
That moment was, I think, the lowest I've ever experienced as a Phillies fan. Like, losing the World Series, like, I was pretty low.
Oh, my gosh.
But losing that division series to the Cardinals was... Because you felt that team was going to win the World Series, except they ran into literally the hottest team on Earth.
Yeah.
Like, it was hotter than the sun, the freaking Cardinals. It was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. And literally just took the air out of the stadium when that happened. And it's just like, oh, the worst gut punch.
Yeah, that was awful. All right, so I have one more question to help us get to know you.
Sure.
If you were commissioner, what one rule would you change or institute?
What rule would I change or institute?
This goes back to a podcast episode that Kev and I did where what we would do if we were commissioner, and we got a lot of feedback back. Mm-hmm. So I was curious what you would do if you were commissioner. Just one. Giving you one option to choose from.
So this is the problem. Like, I don't know all the rules off the top of my head very well, but what I'd probably do is I would relax the uniform restrictions. Because I'm tired of my boy getting fines for his awesome cleats and socks.
Who?
Harper.
He gets fined for that?
He did. Well, he did when he was first doing it, and then they made an exception. But I would like that to actually be walked back fully, because I think it's a decent way of showing expression without being super obnoxious, considering it's such a small percentage of the uniform.
Okay. So he was getting fined originally. I'm unaware of this.
Yeah. So when he first rocked up in those like iconic cleats and socks, he was fined for it because it broke with the traditional uniform.
Okay. Okay. So I definitely have some opinions on this because I see baseball's reasoning behind it, mm-hmm. because you don't want to get just random colorness with like random, like, you know, neon green with mm-hmm. the Phillies. Like, this just doesn't go. And you just have every player looking completely different. And I think that ruins the team. Like, it doesn't look like a team, it just looks like mm-hmm. a bunch of players individually playing. That's happened to be on the same field.
Oh, I understand yeah. it, if that's brought across like the entire jersey. Yeah. What I'm saying is literally just the shoes.
Just the cleats.
Just the cleats and socks.
Oh, yeah. I think that cleats are one thing that I'm okay with. Like, but I think like wristbands and all that stuff, that yeah. I think that should be color coordinated to mm-hmm. the team.
And that's also a good opportunity for the team to be like, when they have to do throwback stuff, they want to do something fun
yeah.
with that. Yeah, let the team do that. But like, the cleats are something that's so minimal. Most of the time, you don't even see them
yeah.
in the shot.
Like, I like Players Weekend when this past couple, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago, where they had every player had, like, each day of the weekend, they had a special, like, sometimes it was the bats, sometimes it was cleats, and yeah. then sometimes it was
God, the fun bats were the best.
Those were so good. I think that they should institute that you can use whatever bat you want.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get how, like, oh, yeah, it has to be, like, approved. That one yeah. I don't get, because that has nothing to do with a uniform. That's a bat.
Yeah, so the approved bats is just because that it's so easy to cork a bat. And without it breaking, it's not the easiest thing to approve if it's a power hitter. So I understand why there's so much restrictions around bats, because that is a competitive advantage that it's easy to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kev, you got any thoughts on Howie's?
Well, going back to the bat thing,
mm-hmm.
you think that they could put whatever they want on it?
Oh, you can't have that something inappropriate or vulgar. I think it should be creative. Like, the pencil bat was pretty cool.
I
think did Gunner have like a lightsaber one, and then Bohm had like a giraffe one or something.
Yeah, the giraffe one was also my second favorite.
Yeah, there were some cool bats, and I think that showed it didn't affect the uniform itself. Maybe, I don't know. I think it's fun. I think it adds a little bit of flair to the game that allows the players to be who they are. Yeah. You have any thoughts on the like cleats or anything with it? Nah.
No.
Nothing? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Howie. Well, welcome to the podcast again. We get to know you a little bit. You have a fun fact for us. Do you not?
Yeah. So considering we're on pace for most likely no team to break 100 wins,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to look up and see when was the last time we didn't have a 100-win season. You thought it was
the
2018 season with the Red Sox.
2018 or 2016. That was the last time I thought. It was the last time.
The last time.
Well, Kev, what do you think?
I'm tempted to say 2010.
2010. It's not as far back as that. It's only 2014 was the last time we didn't have a 100-win season. At that point, the Angels had the best record of baseball at 98-64.
Wow. Now you know how bad a season that was.
Yeah, the Angels played 98 games.
The Giants won that World Series against the Royals.
Correct.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's going to be another thing talked about later. It was a 4-5 seed.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Were the Giants 4 seed?
Yeah. No, 5 seed.
It was both wild card teams.
They were both wild card teams.
Yeah, there was a period of time where the wild card team won the World Series, right?
Yeah. Well, part of the thing we'll be talking. Well, that's mostly before. Our time frame in which I was pulling up data for this episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a good portion of like 7 of the last 10 had like either made it to the World Series or won it. As a wild card team.
Yeah. 10 years is wild for the last time we didn't have a 100-win team. Because 100 wins is hard to do.
Well, I mean, we're obviously excluding 2020 because it was much shorter.
Yeah, yeah. No. Yeah. When was the last time the Yankees had 100?
20 flip.
It might have been 20.
Going to the future.
At first I was thinking it might have been 2018 because I know the Red Sox won 100 and something games, so I thought the Yankees weren't that super far behind either. They were a good team that year.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. Yankee win seasons. Last 2019. They had 103.
Yeah.
They had 2018 and 2019, they had consecutive years of 100 wins. 100 and 103. Yeah. Wow.
They were the wild card in 2018. The Red Sox were amazing that year.
Yeah, the Red Sox were, yeah, they were. They were. They were also possibly cheating, so. But who knows? Anyway, that's our fun fact. Thank you, Howie.
You're welcome.
And now we're going to get into our main section, the junk ball section. Something that has implications of coming up is the playoff format for baseball. And there's been a lot of chatter over the last couple of years about the different playoff formats, different wildcard teams. Is it too many teams? Is it too few teams? Should more teams be in it? And how fans have reacted, and also the media has driven some of this stuff. We are going to talk about the implications of the recent playoff expansions. And our friend Howie has brought a lot of analytical data. Let's get analytical.
Yeah, we're going to analytical.
And so Howie's going to bring us, I'm going to let Howie kind of lead us in this because he's brought a lot of info and Kev and I we're prepared, but we're interested to see what the data shows based off the, and this goes back to when exactly. So that way the listeners have a time frame of what this data is.
So what I was mostly looking at was the past 5 years, from 2019 to 2024.
Okay.
And the big three arguments about why this expanded playoff format has negative impact baseball is it has affected the trade deadline because more teams are holding on to their good players and don't want to give them up because theoretically there's more teams have a chance to make the playoffs. Number two is there's too much parity in the league. Now that we are having extra playoff teams in the mix and no teams are really standing out. And number three is the best teams are no longer winning.
Winning in the postseason.
Winning in the postseason, gotcha. Or winning the World Series in general.
Gotcha. Okay. Why don't you lead us off with the first point and get right into it?
Sure. This one's a Michael special because he's been complaining about this nonstop.
Yeah.
This whole time.
And yeah,
this
I'm sure I'm going to have a lot of opinions about a lot of this right here.
So let's talk about the trade deadline.
So
the trade deadline. Over the past 6 years in baseball, when do you think was the least amount of trades done
within the last 6 years, the last six trades
in a 48-hour window?
The total amount.
Yeah, total amount of trades within the 48 hours of the trade deadline.
Excluding 2020?
You can include it. It's okay. Fine.
Does that include this year as well?
It includes this year as well.
I'm going to say 2021.
Maybe 2022.
Okay. So here we go. So within the last 48 hours of the trade deadline starting in 2019, we have 20 trades. In 2020, we have 30 trades. In 2021, we have 51 trades. In 2022, we have 37 trades. In 2023, we have 57 trades.
Oh my
and
God.
In 2024, we had 51 trades.
Okay, so but before we get into this, sorry, you
go ahead.
So I'll say something, then I want you to follow up. The amount of trades?
This is the amount of trades.
That's where I feel like there might be a disconnect with this because it doesn't feel like the trades are impactful. The last big trade that I can remember in baseball in the trade deadline was Juan Soto, and yes.
That was 2022.
But that's 2 years ago now. You don't see big names getting traded anymore.
I was going to echo that sentiment as well, and I think that's why we were thinking as low as we were. I mean, granted, there may be an uptick in the trades, but who's actually being moved is different because, especially in the era of parity, people are going to be more inclined to keep their star players or people on their team who are foundations for it, because they're in a playoff race.
Yeah. Who Correct. Was the number one player that got traded this deadline?
I really don't know that.
Chisholm?
One. I would.
And Jazz Chisholm, like, I know he was on the cover. There was definitely one other player that got traded that was bigger than Chisholm, but I can't remember who it was. But I mean, Jazz Chisholm is a good player, but he's not a, you know, prolific all-star every year. He was on MLB The Show's cover, but he didn't need to be. He really doesn't deserve it. Yeah. But I don't know. I just don't see the impact of trades as there's definitely more trades, but they're not of as the impact. So I feel like the reasoning behind the, oh yeah, we're going to make trades. Mm-hmm. But look at the Phillies. They traded for Tanner Banks. They got rid of Gregory Soto. They got rid of Sir Anthony Dominguez.
Mm-hmm.
And Christian Pache. And they got Austin Hayes back. Like, of all those players, none of them have really made a huge impact at all.
No.
And Carlos Estevez has probably been our biggest trade deadline, and he's been a little bit shaky. But I liked what he's done, but Carlos Estevez isn't a name grab. You know, he wasn't like a player like going to get Mason Miller. That would have been a big trade, but that didn't happen.
No, it did not.
Okay.
No, I mean, in the Yankees one, it has to be Chisholm. They did get Mark Leiter out of it, but he's a home run giving up machine.
Yeah.
He hasn't panned out very well so far, but since Chisholm's come over here, he's hit almost 300.
Yeah.
So he's been a very big piece, not a big superstar. Yeah. Like, oh my goodness, we're getting like Ohtani or something.
You know, I just can't think of another player that got traded that was, and I think we did a trade deadline. Like,
it was slim pickings.
Yeah, slim. Yeah. But yeah, so that's our first reaction to that.
Yeah. And that's fair, but you got to remember, baseball's a team sport.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But look at Juan Soto and Aaron Judge.
Mm-hmm. And look at the big trades that happened in the 2000s era and the 2010s era. How many of them actually impacted positively the team that traded the star
Manny
player?
Manny Ramirez was a big impact for the Dodgers, I can say that.
No. The team that gave up the star player.
The team that gave up. So the prospects they got back.
Yeah.
I mean... People don't really remember this too much, but when A-Rod came to the Yankees, Alfonso Soriano went to the Rangers to fill his spot, and I thought that was a good move by Texas.
Padres recently, with trading Soto to the Yankees, they've gotten some and also with the sending him to Washington, getting some prospects back from when he was traded. They got some good prospects back, and mm-hmm. they have a foundation now where they're going to be good next year or the following year, in my opinion. They've got some good prospects.
The problem is those teams are outliers. So most of these trades are either a negligent improvement on the team trading their star player or have degraded the team, because a lot of these trades are for prospects.
Yeah.
And while prospects are enticing, are exciting, they are not developed players.
That's where I do agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I am all for... There are some prospects I feel you need to hold on to. Like, if the Yankees traded Dominguez to go get someone this offseason, I would be like, that's a terrible idea. Phillies traded Painter, I think he was the only one. Adam Miller, maybe, but Painter was the one I'm like, I really don't want to trade him. But if it means I'm going to get Mason Miller, like, yeah, I want to win now. I want a World Series now. I don't care if this guy has a potential to be really, really good. Like, the chances of a team doing that, this is where I agree with you on this, because prospects are prospects for a reason. Mason Miller, I'm just using this as an example. Mm-hmm. He's proven. He's been ridiculous. That's a risk because of the injury, but I see your point with that.
So because of all the big trades really not panning out, teams have been taught effectively to, we're never doing that.
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing that again because it's not worth the risk.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the activity on the trade deadline, bolstering the end of your rotation or your relief staff or your pinch hitters or pinch runners, has really been the focus in trades. And teams are still being aggressive towards this in order to put themselves in winning positions.
Yeah,
but say you're like a couple of games above 500 and you're the third wild card seed. How willing are you to like give up maybe a player or two to get someone else?
Apparently a lot. Because these aren't just like six teams making all these trades. Every team is wheeling and dealing.
Yeah, though with more and more people in the mix, there's less and less people to try and trade for.
With more and more people looking to improve the bottom of the bench, that means we have a buyer's market.
For the bench,
yeah,
not starters.
Yeah, starters.
They're not trading starters.
Most starters will not be traded, especially like the top of your hitting order and the top of your rotation. Those players are no longer being traded.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm trying to think of off the top of my head like some of the biggest trades in like recent, like the last 25 years that were beneficial.
To who?
The team that got the star player. So you're thinking that it's the opposite. The teams that got the prospects. Betts.
Yeah.
Mookie Betts. Was that during the offseason or trade deadline? I'm talking about is this trade deadline specific?
Trade deadline specific.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm thinking of when Randy Johnson went to Houston.
Mm-hmm.
That is they won a World Series 2 years later.
Yeah.
Two or 3 years later. CeCe. When he went to Milwaukee, like that, yeah. He was the best player in Milwaukee, and he was the best player almost in the league when he went to Milwaukee.
It was insane.
It was ridiculous. He just ran into the Phillies. Phillies were hot. Manny, and this is 2008 with Manny and CeCe. Manny was ridiculous with the Dodgers. And one more here. I just looked up a quick one because I knew Manny and Randy were the two that I totally forgot about CeCe. But,
oh, trust me, the buyers would love to buy all-star talent.
But
the problem is the sellers are holding on to him.
Yeah, why?
Because it's just not worth it in their compensation.
Do you think that the emphasis on analytics has influenced this to...
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
100%.
To a point where it's bad for baseball because you're not seeing the big trades anymore. You're not seeing the talk. Like, that's one thing that baseball is really, really bad at. Their PR is awful. There's no, they sweep things under the rug really well. I will say that, but they do not promote the game in a way that is beneficial, like the NFL. The NFL is a different product in general, but MLB does not do a great job of promoting the big flashy things.
Oh, that, it's so bad.
Unlike football, but football has more talk. Baseball doesn't have as much talk. There needs to be more talk. About baseball, good or bad, there needs to be more of it. And I think that not having these big trades, which I think is a result of the analytics, a big part of it.
I mean, you got to remember also, the only real big trade sport at the deadline now is NBA. Most other professional sports, the big trading is in the offseason. It's not during the season.
Yeah. And I feel like the MLB used to be pretty good. Like you would get some all-star, but no, it's really regressed.
Yeah.
And I think that's bad. Overall, I think that's bad. Okay. Continue.
Okay. So now let's talk about there's too many teams doing just okay.
Yeah.
In order to make a playoff push.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do, this is trade deadline, all teams within, we'll say two and a half games of a playoff seed.
Explain this again. Sorry.
So we're going to go standings at the end of the season.
Okay.
And at the trade deadline. And we're looking at all the teams that are either in the playoff standings or in the hunt.
Okay.
How do you want to define in the hunt? How many games back?
It depends on how many games are left. Are you talking about right now?
We're talking about at the trade deadline because that's probably the best time to assess whether or not your team's going to make a playoff push.
I'd say seven.
Seven? Within seven of a playoff seed?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's start figuring this out.
Yeah.
So in 2019, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Let's see. Playoff is five teams. So that would be... Sorry, this one's going to be a little talky. So Oakland at 7.5 games. At 14 games, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 for the American League. This is the 2019 All-Star break, mind you.
Could you explain this a little bit more?
So we're looking at all the teams that are in the hunt for a playoff seed.
2019.
all the teams that are in the hunt for a playoff chase or playoff run, however you want to define it. And so we have nine teams in the American League that are probably making trades, trying to figure out their way in order to make a playoff push this year. And then here we go. In the NL, we have...
And in 2019, we also need to clarify, this is when we had the second wild card team added. There it wasn't a 12-team wild card round yet. That was in 2022.
How many teams are in the National League? It's 14?
15.
15? Okay, 13. 13 teams in the National League or in the hunt within 7 games of a playoff seed. Now, obviously, we go to 2020, and it was a shortened season. It's going to be every team. So we're unfortunately going to have to excuse it because of the shortened season. I think the outlier was the National League had one team. Pittsburgh was not going to make a playoff push. They were eight games behind.
Okay.
In 2021, we have... Ten teams in the American League in the playoff hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And in the National League, eleven teams in the hunt.
So I think I want to define in the hunt a little bit here.
Sure.
Because...
teams that are telling themselves they have a chance to make the playoffs and shouldn't make a move in order to secure their playoff.
But that's the thing. I think that organizations see we're 7 games back.
Mm-hmm.
Chances of us are winning, analytically, we're not going to do this. That's why they're holding on to their players, because mm-hmm. it's just not worth it. Now, teams, I think 2-3 games back, see the difference. But I think you're in the hunt because you have a shot if you're 6-7 games back.
Yeah.
So I think whatever we're getting to, it needs to be clarified that the attitude behind the teams that are 7 games back is much different than the attitude of teams that are in the hunt at 2 or 3 games back.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to do. Effectively, what it is showing is we have no more teams in the hunt. Besides, it's a plus or minus 1.5 teams,
mm-hmm.
comparatively to before expanding it to 6 teams.
Okay.
So it's usually we have an extra 1 to 2 teams that are within a 7 game. Within a 3 game, we are plus minus 2.3.
So it's the same amount of teams, basically, fighting for an extra spot.
Yes. So the parity is effectively still the same.
Yeah, I don't like that.
How many of these teams are you seeing are playing 500 baseball that are in
are
the
playing
hunt?
Above 500 baseball?
Yeah, that's actually a good
way less.
Yeah. that's the thing. In the hunt, yeah, you're 7 games back.
Okay, so let's talk about teams above 500 starting in 2019. All right, so that one I actually have to look at because that's just not like a simple. All right, so with look at the American League. We have 8 teams playing above 500 baseball. At the trade deadline.
Which year is this?
2019.
Gotcha.
And 8 teams in the National League playing above 500 baseball at the trade deadline. In 2021, we have 8 teams playing above 500 baseball in the American League and 7 teams in the National League playing above 500 baseball.
Yeah.
In 2022, we have 9 teams in the American League playing above 500 baseball and 7 teams playing above 500 baseball in the National League.
Yeah.
In 2023, the American League, 10 teams are playing above 500 baseball, and 9 teams in the National League are playing above 500 baseball.
Mm-hmm.
In 2024, both have 9 teams playing above 500 baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my question is not necessarily how many teams had it overall, the more we're in the hunt, because I feel like with 500 records, they're usually going to be split down the middle of like generally like give or take a few teams, maybe a few more teams more that are above 500 and a few under it.
All right. So if we're looking at that, we are looking at still this last year's 9-9 because they're within 3 games of the 6th seed. In 2023, it's 7-8.
Mm-hmm.
In 2021, it's 9-7 in 2022. In 2021, it would be.
So our, I mean, I we don't have to get too much into the weeds.
Yeah,
but
6-5.
Okay,
and so, then 6-6 in 2019.
Okay, but go ahead.
No, you go.
So, I mean, I'd just be curious to know, though, and, like, with the below 500 teams, are they, like, super below 500? Are they a couple games under?
The ones that were in the hunt within the 7 games window of the last playoff seed, we were looking at 1, and unfortunately, the National League was 7, with 7 additional.
Okay.
Oh, not 7 additional, 4 additional. And then American League was 2-2. National League would have, I'm sorry, yeah, 2-2, American National. 2022, it would have been 1-3.
Okay.
In 2023, it would have been 2-4.
Okay.
And then in this year, it's 3-4.
Okay, so what you're saying is that the parity is. What's your opinion on this?
So we have more teams playing above 500 baseball than ever this year.
Okay,
this year and last year are we have.
But we're on
playing
pace,
above 500 baseball.
But we're not on pace for anyone to have over 100 wins.
We're not on pace for having anyone have 100 wins. And in 2019, that is one more team. Comparatively to now.
So 2019 had one more than right
no,
now.
No, we have one, more,
one
than
more
than
2019. Yeah. So there hasn't been much change.
No, we're pretty much, this baseball is mostly the same. This year, we just don't have a team winning 100 games, most likely by the end of the season. And also, like, we're not going to have 200 win, like one for league.
Yeah.
You can chalk that up to highly competitive divisions with both the AL East and the NL West.
Also taking wins away from the White Sox, too.
Yeah, and also the White Sox is historically bad.
Yeah. So
it's a lot of free wins out
you
there.
You think that the playoff... I'm just trying to get your opinion on it. Mm-hmm. The playoff expansion over the last couple years has just resulted in just more parity within the league.
I'm saying there was, statistically,
yeah,
not a noticeable increase in parity in the league, considering the amount of teams that are in the playoff hunt has expanded just because there's an extra seed.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of teams that are dragged down to 500 baseball has not increased.
Okay. Okay.
We are still playing above 500 baseball with most of our playoff-seeking teams,
mm-hmm,
which if it was true parity, we'd be much closer to that 500 baseball.
Okay. Now, I think my thought process behind this is I'm trying to look at it as a team that's one of those teams that's like, mm-hmm, do I take that risk of like the Cardinals back, you know, they're above 500 or a 500 team and they're in the hunt, quote unquote, but they have not shown any signs whatsoever of being a playoff team or anything can win the World Series. So I think that can sometimes skew what your results are for this, because there's definitely more teams like the Cardinals other than this year, just one, as one where, hey, like, yeah, they have a shot because of a lot of good players, but they just didn't live up to their potential, and they already have a lot of money lined up to certain players. Rangers are another example. They had some injuries, but they were kind of like, they wanted to be good, but is the front office going to take that risk?
I mean, you also have the Mariners of this year.
Honestly. Yeah, that's a collapse. That's absolutely. Yeah.
So, like, that stuff's always going to happen in baseball, but just because we have more teams looking to make the playoffs does not mean the quality of the product has decreased.
So,
which is what the big argument with a lot of sports talk writers have been saying, because there's more playoff teams, less teams are trying hard, when actually more teams are trying hard because they're getting above 500 records.
Trying hard and trying, I think, needs to be established there, because there are teams that are actually trying hard and there are teams that are like, all right, if we make it, we make it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the Royals this year, they went in the offseason, they spent money.
Yeah,
they tried. They tried hard.
They tried real hard.
But they also did it very strategically. Whereas, I'm trying to think of another team. Like, the Padres, they're trying real hard.
Yeah.
But they did it in a weird way where they traded away some players, but then they got a lot back, and it's worked out for them. But there's some teams where they've tried, but haven't tried hard. Like the Mets this year, they tried hard the year before, but they didn't try hard this year. Cardinals, they revamped, but they didn't try super hard. So I think my reasoning is there's more teams, there's the same amount of teams above 500 as mm-hmm. previous years, but they view it as, okay, there's one more spot, so more teams are fighting for that one spot. Am I going to actually try to get that when there's more people in the pot?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to be incentivized because there's more people? I'm like, there's the greater chance that I'm not going to get in there.
If you were sitting four games back in a 4, 5, or 6 team playoff hunt race,
mm-hmm.
you have a chance to make it. It's a little bit of an outside shot, but you have a chance, like a very good chance of making it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how many teams are in front of you. You are trying to make that.
Yeah, but I think it depends upon the front office, too.
Oh, yeah.
I think the front office seeing that there are more teams, I'm trying to condense this and how my brain is working it, but even though there's only one or two more spots over the last couple of years that for the teams to get in, the same amount of teams, like they, it's almost that they don't view it as, oh, we need to try because there's a greater chance that we won't get in because the other teams are going to try harder.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, I can see where you're coming from.
Because I'm coming from this with a lot of more the business side of it background where, hey, we're a couple games back. We could take a shot, but this team's hot right now, and they are going to put on the same record. We probably shouldn't do it. I think there's a lot of, not gray area, but like a lot of unknown or hidden stuff that can sway this statistic, in my opinion. Does that make sense? Do you get that?
I'm thinking of it from a different angle.
Okay.
Mine is more of this is like after the trade deadline, after the season's over, right? Oh, we're the sixth seed. We made it in at like 83 and 81 or something, yeah, or 84 and 82.
Yep.
That's enough for us to make the playoffs. So if that's our only standard, do we really need to improve, make the moves necessary? I mean, it might be an extra motivation to be like, hey, we can win 90 games. So I think to your point, it depends on the management. Like we talked about Oakland's management. They were in the playoffs only a couple of years ago, but it didn't seem like they cared that they made the playoffs because they just tanked after that. Compare that to a team like, say, the Padres, where they're trying to win every year. So
because they're sorry,
go ahead.
No,
I was done.
You finish.
I was done.
There's the collective sharing at the end of the year, revenue mm-hmm. sharing. So every team gets a share of it. But is there much of an incentive for a team to just make the playoffs to get a little bit more money? Or because they're going to risk it. So they have to look at, that's why you don't see a lot of teams just try to push hard. Like they might push, but they're not going to push hard for it.
I also think that there's a general lack of capturing the moment of the fact that we have an expanded playoff chance to, like, you have an extra chance to make the playoffs. It is not being marketed well. It is like so many teams are in the playoff hunt now, even. Like, we have what in the National League? Three teams are definitely going to make it of the five in the wild card slot.
Yeah. Like, in the hunt versus, like, what we have? 18 games left? Something like that? 17? Something around there?
16.
Yeah. So we're in the teens. Like, the Cubs being four games out of the wild card, that's hard to recover to right now. They're in the hunt, but that's tough based off of how many, like, but based off around the trade deadline, it varies because there's more time for your team to really either suck or improve. And I think there's a lot more of, instead of like feel for the, they've become too, I think it comes back to the analytics of it and the money side. Like, you don't see the teams making that big push for that money big guy because they're like, you know, it's just not worth it. It's just not worth doing that. I think the Dodgers were a prime example with Manny in 2008. We're like, all right, let's go get a big guy. And all of a sudden the Dodgers were like, oh, all right, sweet, they're back. But you just don't see that. Like, there's no team this year or in recent memories where Soto was the last one where I thought, okay, all right, San Diego's going for it. Like, you can feel that momentum with it. And they carried him to the championship series.
Yeah.
And so I just...
So close.
Yeah. They were so close. I don't know what I'm getting at right here. But I think that the incentive to... The parity in baseball right now with the playoffs, I think... I don't even know what I'm getting at with this. So do you like the parity with this, or do you think it's bad? You think it's bad?
I think that the whole thing about parity is is everyone being dragged towards 500? No, that's not happening.
Okay.
So I don't think it is having an effect on baseball at all. It is having effect maybe on analytics people looking at it saying like whether or not we have a chance, because effectively we really only have Braves up. So we have seven teams fighting for six playoff spots. Yeah. Braves and Mets are literally fighting tooth and nail to figure out who's going to be the sixth seed. And the Cubs are three games behind that, and they're not going to catch up.
Okay. Now, you said something that caught my attention about good teams. I think with this current playoff format, I think there are okay teams. And then there are good teams. There's not really a great team in the last couple years. I think the last great team was maybe the 2018 Red Sox. Like, great team.
That went all the way?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's been teams in the regular season that they just fell apart in the postseason.
Yeah, like
like the Dodgers.
Like the Dodgers 2 years ago or last year. Like, they were a good team. I don't know if they were like a great team, even though they won over 100 games. I think
you could say the Astros last year.
Yeah, you could.
Or 2 years ago. 2 years
ago. Yeah, 2 years ago.
Like, they were a great team because they'd make like so many of the. They lost.
Yeah.
Two of their three. And unfortunately, they beat the Phillies.
Yeah. Obviously, there's the same amount of games every year in baseball.
Yeah, that doesn't change.
That doesn't change. The players do, and the results do. And I think based off of some of the stuff you've shown and some of the stuff that has happened in the just good teams and great teams, I think that there are less great teams and more just good to okay teams. But I think there's more average. Like, I think baseball has become like, oh, yeah, like how many great teams or like good to great teams are there in baseball right now? You got the Phillies, Dodgers, Yankees and O's. But would you consider the Yankees a great team?
You're forgetting the Guardians.
Yeah, I know.
They have two great players.
Exactly.
Right now.
They have a couple great players, but they're not a great team. Like the Phillies, I don't think they're a great team. I think they're a really good team. Same thing with the Dodgers. They're a really good team. But there's no great team.
I mean, the Dodgers are a great hitting team.
Yeah.
That's the one problem is that most teams do not have greatness all over. They usually are focusing on one aspect of the game and how to maximize their output in that part of the game.
Maybe I'm thinking more of there's no juggernauts.
No.
You don't see as many juggernauts in today's game as there used to be with it. And I think that's what we're missing. And I think why I might not like the parity with as much.
Yeah. You want a Goliath that David can knock out.
I want an enemy. Sports prospers when there's an enemy to go after. That's why I think the Yankees, it's good when the Yankees are a good team or a great team.
Yes.
Because everyone combines like, oh, I hate the Yankees. They have an enemy. Like,
And last year, they just flamed out so hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Sorry to bring up bad wounds. But the Yankees, if they were on pace, those would have been back-to-back years. They were the ones in the AL.
With the NFL, everyone hated the Patriots.
Yeah, and everyone hates the Chiefs.
Yeah, and everyone hates the Chiefs. Like, NFL is very good at it.
Yeah.
Picking out a person or a team that to hate, to have like as their juggernaut. And it drives the conversation because everyone revolves around it. So I think what were you going to say?
Would you feel this way about parity if you were a fan of, say, a team like the Twins or Cleveland or someone who kind of is like middle, hovering around 500 that they make the playoffs?
No, I don't like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, let's think about this. In 2022, the Phillies made the World Series, right? They were the sixth seed that year.
Yeah. Yeah. Legitimate. Yeah, I'm
fully aware of that. But I think that there's. So I would kind of side topic. I like the five wild card instead of the six. And I know we're going back. I think this goes back to 2019 where it was the five wild card, right?
Mm-hmm.
That correct. Was the first one, the five yeah. wild card.
When did the six teams expand?
That was 22.
Okay. The reason why I like the five wild card team spot is it allows for. It really incentivizes, I think, more of the division winners with it than the current one does. This incentivizes the top seed, but then after that, the top two seeds, after that, it's just like getting in.
Yeah, you're just getting in. Yeah. And you might have home field advantage. Yeah.
Whereas the five seed, the five spots, you have the three division winners, and then you have the two wildcard teams going head-to-head with it. Mm-hmm. So you're like, and if you're the wildcard, if you're the fifth wildcard team, you don't want to be that fifth wildcard because you have to the second wildcard team with the five spot. You have to go to the four spot, win that game with your best pitcher,
mm-hmm.
then go and face the division winner of the number one seed.
Wait, no, doesn't... No, three plays six and four plays five.
This is five. Five.
Oh, you're five. Five. Yeah.
So there would be only four teams left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm kind of mixed on a lot of this right now, but I'm curious to what your next point is.
Right. So for our last is the best teams in baseball are just not winning.
What did I just say? Something about a juggernaut?
Yes.
Didn't I? See? Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Missing it. I'm missing the juggernauts.
Now, for this, I took the last 10 years in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Have pulled out the winners and also their seedings going into the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a question. I want your honest opinion. How many one seeds do you think made the playoffs, or made the World Series before we expanded to five teams? From 2014 to 2018, mm-hmm. How many one seeds made the World Series?
I think it was Houston and the Red Sox, I think in 2018.
Both leagues combined?
Yeah.
No, just the one seed.
No, I mean like...
Of the AL and NL?
AL or NL.
I think two.
How many one seeds made it from 2014 to 2018?
Two.
Two?
I think there... Were the Dodgers a one seed in 2017?
That is correct.
So three?
Four. We had the 18, the Red Sox,
okay.
17, the Dodgers, 16, the Cubs, and 15, the Royals. So from 2019 onward, we've had five or more teams in the playoffs. Obviously, 2020 is going to be an exception.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert, both one seeds made it in 2020. So since we've had five teams,
mm-hmm.
the one seed has made it, 1, 2, 3, 4 times. So without the 2020 season, we've had two one seeds make it.
Wow. That is interesting. That is really interesting.
Now, if we go to ones and two seeds, it gets further interesting. So in 2014 to 2018,
mm-hmm.
of the teams that made the World Series,
yeah.
how many one and two seeds were there?
So combined.
Combined. Right,
so we now
combined.
We know there were four.
We know you
so
have how many four. Two? I'm giving you a four spot.
I'll say four again.
I'll say five.
So from 2018 to 2014, we
2014
had,
to 2018.
Yeah, 2014 to 2018. We had three two seeds make it.
So seven total. Seven of the one and two seeds make it.
Yeah. Seven of the 10, quote unquote, seven of the, quote, 20 best teams in baseball made it to the World Series. From 2019 to 2023, we have. Five.
To of the one and two seeds?
One and two seeds.
Okay, so why do you think that is?
Why do I think that is?
Yeah.
I think they are more open to these teams that are getting hot at the end of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're sitting, get a bye week, or they think they're just going to rock home field advantage and let it coast them, press the first set, they're getting caught. They're getting caught with their pants down.
So you think like the Braves last couple years with the Phillies mm-hmm. is a prime example?
A prime example.
So you're saying the result of them not making it is because the other teams that are continue, like, that is the big conversation about the Braves last year. They were like, oh no, we're gonna be playing. They played simulated games last year to help with the previous year because they were just terrible.
Tell me about how the Dodgers feel.
Yeah. Diamondbacks last year.
Diamondbacks. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I kind
last
of,
two playoffs the Dodgers have been called caught out.
Yeah.
And we talked about this before, right? I'll bring it up again. For the teams in the cities where it's the lower seeds, it's great, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not a fan of those cities, nobody cares about these matchups. Look at last year with the Rangers, who were a 5 seed, and the Diamondbacks, who were a 6 seed. And the Diamondbacks were an 83 and 81 team, or 84 and 82, something like that. It's not a superstar matchup. It's not one that people would be interested in. Now, if you had someone like Baltimore in there instead last year, or the Dodgers, like that kind of matchup, or even the Phillies, more people would be inclined to watch it. It's more, there's more stars in that game, and there's more interest. There's no interest in a Rangers-Diamondbacks series. I'm sorry if anybody's offended if they listen to this, but nobody cares about those matchups.
No, I agree. I agree with that.
So this is the only point in which the data is showing that it is negatively infecting, considering we're not getting our Goliaths into the World Series. And we're also not getting them to do well in the playoffs.
And this isn't to say that one seed should be making it every year, going to a World Series every year. But I feel like you need to have it somewhere, some powerhouse team, to not only draw attention, but maybe, like you said, to have someone to cheer for or against.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No,
besides last year, the only time not a 1 or 2 seed made it was in 2014.
And who was that?
That was the Royals Giants World Series. Mm.
Yeah.
So, given that we have 10 years, we have 2 of the 10.
Mm.
The best two teams in their conferences are getting to the World Series.
Yeah. Interesting. So you want to sum up everything?
Sure. We can sum it up now.
Yeah, sum it up. Sum it up for us.
So the whiny gripes of the old baseball fan are saying...
And me.
Parity has been exacerbated from the increased playoff teams and effectively rewarding participation trophies to more teams. And unfortunately, the data is not exactly showing that.
Mm-hmm.
It is getting much more of that feel, considering we do have an additional team making the playoffs.
Yeah.
And we do have really good teams not doing well recently in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But the trend of baseball has not, over time, proven the fact that it is having a giant effect on the sport itself.
Yeah. Now that we have all the data based off of this, I still think there are many not outliers, but things that need to be taken in consideration, like the management style of certain teams and like the feel of like, oh, this team's hot, I'm going to go but we're still like 5 games back.
Yeah.
I think that sometimes that's hard to conceptualize or use as a statistic. So that's my only gripe, I think, with this, because I think there's a lot of feel in the management and also with the team of like, all right, you know, we think we can do this versus, that's my opinion with it. I like the statistics, but I also am very eager or curious about like all the hidden stuff that we can't use as a statistic.
Yeah, and also there's so much of it is gray area and just general vibes feel.
Yeah. General vibes. Sorry. What's your conclusion on this?
Well, there's give and take with parity, right? So on the one hand, with parity, you do have a more level playing field, and with more postseason spots, you have more people competing. So on the surface level, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
For teams that usually wouldn't have opportunities to make the postseason and make a run, it gives them a little kick in the rear to maybe go make some moves and make a push. But I think there is a price to it as well, and that is that you don't see the same kind of you don't see the same kind of attitude,
intensity,
and frankly rivalry.
Yeah,
I haven't seen a lot of that. I mean the most heated one I've seen, at least here on the East Coast, is maybe the Braves and the Phillies. I don't know, like, of what else. Even Yankees Red Sox has been cold.
Yeah,
the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, and it's like 85 degrees out right now there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just can't seem to do well. Yeah.
So I mean, like, I'm still kind of an old man in terms of the parody aspect, and I'm a Yankees fan, so I'm usually gonna be the one that cheers for like juggernaut teams. Yeah. But I do see that parody isn't necessarily the worst thing ever either.
Yeah.
That having more opportunities for teams to get in is a good thing, but they need to actually try.
Yeah, that's where I think there's a big disconnect for me, is that you don't see a lot of these owners try.
No.
And that's where I think the parity is sometimes can be a bad thing, because there's all these teams that are just doing average, and these players want to win. They want to have, like, Castellanos, when he said, I know that these, like, I think he was asked, like, oh, what's one thing that you would do if you were commissioner? He would penalize the owners that don't spend enough. Mm-hmm. And I agree with that. I think that owners should, like, if you own a baseball team, you should want to win. You shouldn't just own just to gain money. Like, yes. It's a sport that is watched by millions and millions of fans in your city. And it's Pittsburgh Pirates are a prime example, where that owner, I can't remember his name, but they've asked him to sell the team so many times because he just collects a paycheck.
Yeah, he just collects the paycheck.
Collects a paycheck. And that's where there's a lot that I want to get into if we were to have you on again about it. But yeah, it's a very interesting topic about the postseason, given that the postseason is coming up.
Yeah, and we are 2 weeks away.
Two weeks away.
Right. No, just over 2 weeks.
Yeah, something like that. But thank you, Howie, for all that. And I think it was a very, not intense, but a very thought-provoking podcast for the junk ball section. Mm-hmm. But we have one last thing. Would you like to close us out with a hot take, Howie?
Sure. I have a hot take for baseball. Do you want
to
hear it?
I would love to hear it. Kev, would you love to hear it?
Go for it.
Or would you like to hear it?
I think I do.
So my hot take, the pitch clock came 10 years too late.
10 years too late? What?
Why 10 years?
Yeah, why 10?
Why 10 years? Because since 2013, baseball has been in a steady decline of viewership.
It's been on a steady decline for decades.
I know, but because of the resurgence of the NBA around the LeBron hype.
The NBA's taking a hit.
Yeah, now.
The NBA's taking a hit last couple of years.
Now, but the 2013 to 2022 era of the NBA increased their fan base so much, it surpassed baseball.
So here's my take on this. I don't think it has anything to do with the pitch clock whatsoever. I think it has to do with star power. NBA is a very individualized game. One-on-one, the person has the ball.
Mm-hmm.
NFL, quarterback is the main person. If your team does not have a good quarterback, you're not marketed well. With baseball, you don't really have, like, unless you're a pitcher, and the pitchers are being incentivized to not pitch as long.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not being incentivized to pitch longer, they don't have a complete game. So there's no shutouts. There's no excitement to watch that. There's no star power for the game. A lot of the guys are like Jeter retired. You know, David Ortiz retired. Like, a lot of the all-time Hall of Famers retired. Right now, there's a lot of just guys that are good for a year, then they suck for another couple years.
Tell me about Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah. So I think that the marketability of baseball has gone down significantly, and I think that's why viewership. Because you're basing the pitch clock based off of viewership, right?
Yeah, increasing this pace of play of the game in order to create more interesting games to watch.
I don't think there's been enough newsmakers think about the 2016 World Series. It had the most viewers in 20-something years.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with the pitch clock. It was because the Cubs were in it.
Yep.
And yes. It was a story. It was a big story.
Yeah.
Baseball hasn't had a lot of big stories over the last decade, couple mm-hmm. decades.
Yeah.
There's no like Yankees Red Sox, which was the big hype in the early 2000s. There was no home run chases. There was no like, I don't know, like scandal or something, like anything to keep anyone's attention except for the Astros. So that was like the late 2010s, I guess.
Yeah.
And then COVID stopped that essentially.
Yeah. Now I will agree with you that the games were getting a little bit too long. And I think there was something that needed to be done. I'm okay with the pitch clock now. I'm not against it. It's whatever. That's not mm-hmm. the main point. I think I don't view the average fan. They aren't incentivized to go to a game any more than they were 10 years ago.
No, they weren't. I would say, I agree with that. Why I said it is 10 years too late is because baseball took too long to try and fix the problem.
Oh, yeah. Baseball is the worst at fixing things whatsoever.
Yeah.
They are the worst managed league, national pro sports league. Mm-hmm. The NFL does a fantastic job. NBA does a fantastic job. MLB does a horrible job marketing their players.
Yeah.
A horrible job.
Horrible.
So I would disagree with your hot take.
That's fine.
Yeah. Would you disagree?
I would disagree, but I do see the point of baseball being slow on things.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I bet we could talk for years on that. Years. Yeah. It's been horrible. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thank you for being here, Howie.
Well, thank you guys so much for having fun with me while I discuss random statistics with you to try and sway your opinions.
Yeah, it's hard for me. It's hard to sway my opinion on things. I'm very opinionated on. If you listeners haven't
figured it out by now,
yeah, figured out by now. But yeah, thank you for being here.
Yes,
it was
thank
a joy.
You, sir.
It was a joy. And I'm sure that we will have many conversations after this about this topic off air.
Yes.
That's the Platinum Plus Junk Baller section.
Platinum Plus Premium.
Yeah, we're gonna get that out soon.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. We just need like another 10,000 listens.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, we haven't gotten to 10,000. We're past 1,000.
Shh.
Oh yeah. Maybe we're just hiding the numbers.
Yeah.
Okay, let's end it there. We hope that you enjoyed the latest edition and the impact of expanding the playoffs has on baseball and whether or not the parity is good or bad. Is that how you would describe it?
Yeah, I would say that parity has not increased in baseball.
Okay,
there we are. All right. We will check you next time. All right.
Peace.
Bye-bye.